Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Easter morning meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, whose resurrection glory we see in his life-giving hands, dear fellow redeemed, as the COVID pandemic keeps dragging on, many of us have become really impatient. Let's get this over with. Get rid of our masks, get rid of social distancing, get back to real life. Really living is what people really want to do. But what is really living? Well, some people think really living is going from place to place in exotic places, jet setting around the world. Others think that really living is living life to the fullest with all kinds of wild and exciting activities. Others think that really living is retiring and doing what you want to do at your own pace. Others think really living is buying whatever you want, no matter the cost. And still others think really living is simply living with a family you love and having a job. The famous author, Henry David Thoreau, said we should suck out the marrow of life. Is that really living? What constitutes really living? Are you really living? The Bible says a lot about really living, and really living to the Bible is not traveling over the world, buying whatever you want, retiring, or even living with your family and a job. Really living is found in Easter. Really living is found in the empty tomb. It's the shouts of joy. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. It's Jesus showing to his disciples his life-giving hands and then giving them that Easter message that life is really worth living. John tells us, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." If these Jewish leaders were so corrupt that they could orchestrate the crucifixion of their leader, an innocent man, then he could easily go after the disciples. And so they were hiding for fear behind locked doors. We know that on early Good Friday, they all forsook their Savior, abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter disowned him, as God, Jesus had prophesied, and he had spent months preparing them for this event, for his crucifixion. And yet, they were surprised, they were shocked, they were grief-stricken when they saw Jesus get arrested and put on the cross. And now, on this Sunday evening of Easter, they're acting as if Jesus were still dead. Well, they heard the news. They heard that the women had seen Jesus. They heard that Peter had seen Jesus. Even the amazed disciples. But they were still hiding. Hiding with fear and doubt and guilt. Knowing full well their disturbed state of mind, Jesus wanted to comfort them, calm their fears, and give them peace. So his first word was, "Peace be with you." Because even though they heard those reports, they couldn't understand all the events that had taken place on that day. So Jesus comes, and he stands in the midst of them, and he shows them, "It's me. I'm alive. I'm not dead. He showed them his hands, and he showed them his side. Jesus' bodily presence and his life-giving hands that they saw, once nail-pierced, now alive, convinced them that he is alive. Jesus is alive! He is risen. Well, today, we have the witness of the women. We have the testimony of the disciples on the way to Emmaus. And we have the prophecy, prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Even on this bright, sunny morning, this world that we live in is really a dark, dark place. This world is filled with doubts and disappointments, guilt and grief, insults and illnesses, suffering and sorrow, punishment and pain, doubt, death and despair. This world is so dark that sometimes we feel like the disciples. We'd have to go hide in some room, lock the doors for fear, and keep the world outside. But on Good Friday, the whole world was in darkness when the Father laid his wrath and condemnation because of my sins and your sins upon his Son, and Jesus endured the anguish of all the evil and all the darkness of this world. But today is Easter. Jesus is alive. It took the disciples a moment, but they finally absorbed the meaning of Easter, and it is joy, we're told. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Easter joy makes life really worth living. Have you grabbed hold of Easter joy? The gloomy hopelessness of the world died on Good Friday, and also did the darkness of sin and the darkness of guilt. Easter not only means joy, it means peace. God was in Christ reconciling, making peace to the world, to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them. Jesus removed sin, defeated the devil, conquered death by rising from the dead. He's alive. This Easter, take a hold of Jesus' life in your heart because he makes your life worth really living. For along with Jesus, peace and joy come into our souls. But Jesus showed himself to his disciples not just so they could see him. He had another reason for being there on that Easter Sunday evening, to show his life-giving hands and to show a life-giving mission. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." The Father had sent the Son into this world to do one thing, to save mankind, to redeem all sinners. And he had to come to live a perfect life. He had to come to suffer and die and be damned by his Father for all of us. And even as the Father sent the Son, and the Son didn't just listen to his Father's words, but obeyed them, so also now the Son sends you and me out on a mission as well. Serving as Christ's ambassadors, what does Paul says? He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Jesus takes his followers and transforms them into apostles. Apostle means one who is sent out to proclaim a message. You and I are ambassadors for Christ. Now that makes life really living. But what a job. Do you think the disciples kind of felt overwhelmed when they heard those words? Here they were, one moment, hiding behind locked doors, scared to death. Then Jesus appears to them, and they're filled with joy. And next moment he says, "Now go out into all the world, the whole wide world, and tell everybody about me and announce forgiveness of sins." But he told them you wouldn't do it on your own. He said, the Holy Spirit will be with you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. What the disciples received at that point was not just the Spirit's gift of faith. They already had that. They were receiving the gift of the Spirit to be able to do what the Lord had encouraged them to do, to go out and to spread the gospel. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And 50 days later, on Pentecost, that same Holy Spirit came upon his disciples in a miraculous way, giving them the ability to speak in tongues and taking these uneducated Galilee fishermen and turned them into apostolic fishers of men. After hearing Peter's sermon on Pentecost, we're told some 3,000 were converted and brought to faith in Christ as the New Testament Holy Christian Church began to grow. Jesus even trained his disciples as to what to say. He said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. It's a significant day when parents entrust their little children with the keys to their house. It's even a bigger milestone when parents entrust their teenagers with the keys to their car. In these words, Jesus is entrusting his believers with the keys to heaven. Forgiving sins and retaining sins of those who reject Christ and clearly live an impenitent life is tantamount to locking and unlocking, opening and closing the very door of heaven. The keys are that special power that Christ gives to us, his believers, who trust in him. Forgiving sins and announcing that is what Jesus did on Easter Sunday evening to the disciples. And now with his life-giving hands, he is telling them, do the same thing. What better way to live out Easter daily than to use our hands for God's life-giving purpose? Forgiving our fellow man. Forgiving our brothers and sisters. What more meaningful thing can we do than to forgive our spouse when he or she sins against us? Or forgive our siblings? Or reconcile ourselves with a fellow member? Or a classmate? Or a worker? Or resolving differences with an old friend? Remember, keys are useful only when they're being used. They're just lying there. They're not doing anything. So use them. That's why God gave them to you. Living at peace with God and at peace with your neighbor makes life really living. These disciples on Easter Sunday night thought that they had nothing to live for. Their Lord was dead, and they acted like it. But miraculously, Jesus appeared to them, he showed them his life-giving hands, and he told them they have a mission. This life-giving mission, empowered by the Holy Spirit, was to fill the rest of their lives so that they would really live. Really live. And so, today, there are possibly about 2 billion people who profess that they believe in Jesus Christ, scattered all around the world. And they owe Jesus a debt of gratitude, as we do, thanksgiving for all that he's done for us. So let's not let COVID or anything else in this life get us down and lead us to live a meaningless life. Let's not act as if Jesus were still dead, because he's alive. On Good Friday, we saw Jesus' nail-pierced hands nailed to the cross, and he was dead. But now he has life-giving hands lifted upon us, and he says, now I'm going to send you out. Jesus is alive. Let's act like it. Let's pray like it. Let's believe it. Let's embrace Jesus' call, I'm sending you, and bring that gospel to the other 5.5 billion people out there in the world who don't know Jesus, one soul at a time. And let's receive the Holy Spirit and use the keys to proclaim peace. Live life like there is no death. Because Easter means there is no death. Easter makes life really living. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our risen and ever-living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.